Welcome to Annandale. In the year of our Lord 2022, we are considering the theme of trust in the Lord with all your heart from Proverbs chapter 3, beginning in verse 5. And over the course of the year together, we are mining the scriptures for the Spirit revealed definitions of the words of this verse. And the verses that speak to us about trust and speak to us about the Lord and speak to us about our heart. And so we began the year together by thinking about the simple definition of trust being to have a firm belief in the reliability of. And as we continue to develop what the scriptures have revealed to us about trust, we're encouraging each other to think about the truth that trust is a key component of faith. And so in our faith, we are to have conviction, we are to trust, and we are to yield, we are to obey. And so trust is the belief that an object of our trust can and will do what should be done. And so as we consider everything the Spirit has said to us about trust, it has to do with confidence. It has to do with security. It has to do with the biblical solution to fear. It has to do with faith. And so the Spirit would use the word trust to communicate that the Lord is one that we can flee to. We can take refuge in Him. We can shelter in Him. And so from the beginning, we learned that we are called to obey commands that speak to God's will for us to trust Him. So it is our duty. But at the same time, it is our safety to trust in the Lord. And so as we continue to think about who the Lord is, the Lord is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We have a visitor in our assembly this morning whose name is Jason. And we had a brief conversation in the lobby about the fact that our parents chose to name us Jason, which means healer. And so he's not a doctor, I'm not a doctor, and as I told him in the foyer, I've never healed anybody. I've made a lot of people sick, but I've never healed anybody. And I want to tell you this morning that I have profound respect for Elijah's parents. Elijah's parents literally named him Eliyah. Yahweh, Jehovah is my God. El, the most basic word for God in the Old Testament. Yah, the personal name of the true and living God. From the moment that Elijah came to understand the meaning of his name, his parents instilled in him their desire for him to live a life that reflected that the true and living God was his God. And it is this God that is calling us to trust in him with all of our heart. I'm glad that Jason's visiting with us this morning. I'm glad that you're visiting with us this morning. If you're here, if you're a member of the Annandale Church, I'm delighted that you are here. I rejoice in having the opportunity to share this lesson with you this morning. From the beginning, the Bible is about God. In the beginning, God. And God reveals His name to us for the first time in chapter 2, verse 4, the Lord God. And what the Lord God would have us to understand in the creation account is that He is a personal being and that He created us in His image for the purpose of being in a relationship with Him in a personal way. And so in the sixth chapter of Genesis, we see that that He has a heart. And He wants us to understand that we have a heart because being created in the image of God, in the image of a personal God who has a heart, He's blessed you with a heart and His longing from eternity is that you would trust Him with all of your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. I don't need a Hebrew dictionary to understand the meaning of the word all. All. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And so, as we consider what the Spirit has revealed to us about trust and about the Lord Himself and about the nature of the heart of God and of us as image bearers. Sometimes you'll read about the threefold nature of the heart. Sometimes you'll read about the fourfold nature of the heart. And so what is your heart? Your heart is your mind. It's your intellect. But it's also your emotion. And it's also your will. And so with the intellect, we reason and we know and we believe. With the emotion, we love and we trust. And with the will, we obey and we serve and we do. And so when folks talk about the fourfold nature of the heart, they talk about the conscience. The conscience is the inner judge that approves and or disapproves. It does not set the standard. Rather, it applies the adopted standard of good and evil or right and wrong. And so this morning, as we have been considering things about our theme at the beginning of this year, in sort of a foundational way, I want this lesson this morning to be for you a foundation, a skeleton outline, if you will, that you can use as you read your Bible, that you can fill in under this definition, scriptures that we don't use this morning. Number one, your heart is your mind. Your heart is your mind. And your mind is the center of thinking and reason. It's the depository of the knowledge that you choose to put in it. It's the depository of the wisdom that you choose to put into your heart, your mind. And so in Proverbs chapter 4 and in verse 23, we read, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." In chapter 3, verse 5, we find our trust in the Lord with all your heart. But when we back up to verse 1, "My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart." Chapter 6, verse 20. "My son, keep your father's commandment and do not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon your heart. Tie them around your neck." Your mind is the center of your thinking and reason. It is like a depository or an account in which you deposit knowledge and wisdom. And what each of us needs to understand this morning is that you can and you do educate your heart. You can consciously form and modify a worldview after which decisions and actions flow. And I want us to understand from the beginning of Proverbs in chapter 1, verse 22, you can unconsciously form and modify a worldview, which is what the simple folks of Proverbs 1, verse 22 are doing. They're unconsciously rejecting the fear of the Lord and the wisdom of God that stands on the rooftops and proclaims itself so that we might know the Lord in whom we are to trust and who we are to fear. And so the wisdom literature of the New Testament in James chapter 3 verses 13 through 18 would say, listen, there are two types of wisdom that you can deposit into your mind. And whatever you choose to put in there, that's what is going to spring out of Proverbs 4 verse 23. It's going to spring out of Proverbs 4 verse 23 in a number of ways. Let's begin in Proverbs chapter 4 verse 20. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. Your mind is like a depository of information that you choose to put in there. And whatever you choose to put in there, it's going to affect your speech. It's going to affect how you view the world. And it's going to affect how you behave. And we need to understand this in the core of our being. There are some things that we shouldn't talk about. There is language that should not come out of our mouths. There are words that should not cross our lips. We need to understand there are some things that we do not need to be looking at. And we need to understand that there are some places that we should not go. And so how are we going to avoid speech and looking at things and conduct that does not glorify God? It begins with what we choose to think about. Your heart, number one, is your mind. Your heart, number two, is your emotions. And so being created in the image of God means that we're like Him. And He has emotions. Perhaps the most famous verse about the truth that God is emotional is John 3:16. For God so loved the world. He is love, but He also loves. We're introduced to the heart of God in Genesis 6:6, and it's in the context of emotion. He was grieved. He was grieved because Genesis 6:5, the folks of Noah's day, their heart was continuously set on evil. Well, why? Well, because that's what they were thinking about. And that's what they were talking about. And that's what they were looking for. And that's how they were behaving. And God looked at at those that He created in His image, and it grieved Him in His heart. And so we need to understand that the true and living God has emotions, is emotional, and we need to understand that we have emotions and we are emotional because we've been created in His image. And we need to understand as Jesus taught us in the Sermon on the Mount that everybody loves. Hitler loves some folks. Osama bin Laden loves some folks. There are people in Putin's life that he loves. And so Jesus would say to us in Matthew 5:46, listen, even sinners and tax collectors have people in their lives, in their orbit, in their circle that they love. They have emotions too. And they are emotional too. And it's because they were created in God's image as well. You have emotions. You are emotional because you are an image bearer of the true and living God. And the wisdom that is from above in the book of Proverbs has a lot to say about this. There are some fathers who are glad. And there are mothers, Proverbs 10:1, who are like God, who are like the Lord, who are like Yahweh. They are grieved when their children do not walk in wisdom because they are not putting the knowledge and the wisdom of God into their hearts. Your heart is your mind. Your heart is your emotions, and your heart is your will. The Lord has a will. The Lord has wishes. The Lord has desires and longings. And from the beginning, the Lord has been revealing about Himself and about His will, that His will is good and it's acceptable and it is perfect. From the beginning, God has been revealing that everything that is good is of God and everything that is evil is of the devil. God wants you to know Him. The Lord wants you to know Him. He wants you to know that He is good. And He wants you to know that His will is the perfect will for you. Why am I a disciple of Jesus Christ? Do you have a list? That's a good list to make. Why am I a disciple of Jesus Christ? One of the reasons why I'm this man's disciple is because of what he said in the Garden of Gethsemane. What had our God and Father asked him to do? He asked him to do something that was going to crush him. According to Isaiah 53. And he was crushed in Gethsemane before he was crushed. Literally. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prayed 3 times to our Abba Father, "Not my will, but yours be done." And the reason why he prayed that prayer, and the reason why when he finished praying, he got up and he arose and he went to his death is because he loves me. And he loves you. And he knew that that was the way that we could be forgiven of our sins. And so what does Jesus communicate to us in His darkest hour? The power of darkness is the expression He would use in Luke's Gospel to describe this hour, metaphorically speaking, that He found Himself in. He communicates to us that God has a will and we have a will. And it's God's will for us to bring our will into harmony with His. Amen. And He did it perfectly. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Amen. You have a will, you have wishes, you have desires. And there are some folks in Ephesians 6:6 that found themselves in a relationship that I don't long for. And what they were called within the context of that relationship because of their relationship with the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings is to do the will of God from the heart. It is possible to do the will of God from the heart. It is possible to do the will of God and your heart be far from Him. And it is possible to reject the will of God for yourself. And there were people that did that in Luke the 7th chapter and in verse 30. And there are people in our world today, all around us, who are doing it 24/7, and we're all reaping the consequences of their minds and their emotions and their wills, because they have not chosen to trust in the Lord with all of their heart. This morning, as we think about God's will for our lives, what does God want from me? He wants all of me. What does He want from you? He wants all of you. He doesn't want some of you. He doesn't want part of you. He wants all of you. He wants your mind, and He wants your emotions, and He wants your will. And He wants you to have a good conscience. He wants you to have a clean conscience. And He's communicated how you can go about having a conscience that allows you to have joy and peace of mind, and to lay down at the end of a day and go to sleep because you are at rest spiritually in Him. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, your whole inner being. And as we think about this good sort of skeleton outline that we want to use throughout the rest of the year, and as we think about this foundational lesson about the heart and God's will for us, that we would trust Him with all of our heart, I want to say to all of us this morning, in full assurance of faith, from a heart that is full of love and appreciation and gratitude to God for all that He has done and blessed me with, and for you and the blessing that you are to me, we need to get right, church, when it comes to this business of we are at war. And the war that we are engaged in is a battle for our minds. It is a battle for our emotions. It is a battle for our wills. In Proverbs 4, verse 23, the word keep communicates that we are at war. You are going to have to fight for your faith. You are going to have to fight for your heart. You are going to have to fight for your mind and your emotions and your will. You are going to have to fight to keep your conscience clean. You are going to have to be about the business on the daily of protecting and watching over your mind and your emotions and your will. There are so many ways that we could go about encouraging one another on this point. But I want to tell you what I did over the course of the week. I started on the last page of the Bible. And I just started working my way back. And this is not a comprehensive list of scriptures and phrases that we need to be aware of and that we need to think more about. But this is just a general description from the last page of the Bible, as we work our way back toward the book of Acts, of the truth that we are at war. Listen, the dragon, that serpent of old, the devil, Satan, deceives the whole world. The prophet Jeremiah will come along after we get through the Kings and the Chronicles, and Jeremiah will say to us on behalf of the Lord, listen, you need to understand this about yourself. Your heart is deceitful above all things. Who can know it is the question of Jeremiah 17:9, and the answer in verse 10 is the Lord. It's the Lord who knows. There is a deceiver who is working day and night seeking to deceive and to destroy us. But there's another spirit who is working day and night seeking to conform us to the image of Jesus. And Jesus would say to us at the conclusion of His book, "He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." And so we back up to Jude, and Jude tells us, listen, you're going to have to fight for your faith. You're going to have to fight for the faith that was once delivered. And you need to know that there are some folks in the world who do not have the Spirit. They do not have the Holy Spirit of God. So then we back up to John's epistles, and my name is in the Bible, but it's not me, right? I mean, Jason is in Acts 17, and I like that guy, right? Maybe that's who we were named after, brother, instead of, you know, hopes we would be a healer. Jason, the house of Jason. Wouldn't you like to have your name in the Bible in a positive way? 3 John, Diotrephes. Not a good guy. He's a bad guy. He wanted to have the preeminence. He should have read Colossians. Someone else already has that position. And his name is not Jason, Cicero. It's Jesus Christ. And it wasn't Diotrephes. And by contrast, we have the example of Demetrius. Don't be like Diotrephes. Be like Demetrius. And be like Demetrius because he's trying to be like Jesus. 2 John 7, many deceivers have gone out into the world. 1 John 5, 19, the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. 2 Peter 1, 2, there are false prophets and false teachers. Brethren, beware, Hebrews 3, 12, that you, as an individual disciple of Jesus, that you cultivate in your heart an evil heart of unbelief. Do you believe that's possible for you this morning? The Lord would say, you better believe that's possible for you. You need to guard your heart. You need to protect it. You need to watch over it. And I'll tell you why you need to be about the business of doing that, because evil men and imposters are going to grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Trust is the giving over of responsibility for someone or something to another's care. Who do you trust and why do you trust them? Somebody asked me a parenting question recently. Been giving some thought to that and thinking about this lesson. You know, one of the things that we did not allow our kids to do was spend the night at other people's houses. And I'll tell you why we didn't let them do that. Because we didn't know the people that had invited them to come over. We didn't know what was in their mind. We didn't know what they were emotional about, and we didn't necessarily know how they were living their lives. And at the end of the day, do you know why we do not allow our kids to go to just any and everybody's house for a sleepover? Because we didn't trust them. We didn't trust them not to harm our kids, to harm their minds, and to cultivate within them emotions about things that God would not have us be emotional about, and we didn't want to expose them to behaviors that they were never going to be exposed to in our home. Who do you trust and why do you trust them? From Genesis to Revelation, the Lord is communicating to us, I am trustworthy. I'm not going to put anything in your mind. I'm not going to stir you up to be emotional. I'm not going to ask you to do anything that is not for your good always. Every bit of knowledge and wisdom that I want to put into your mind that's going to be reflected in your thinking and in your speech and in your behavior, it's going to glorify me and it's going to communicate to other people that you are mine and that I'm yours. And people are going to be able to see Christ living in you, and they're going to be able to see that the Holy Spirit is at work in your life, because rivers of living water are going to flow from your heart. Who do you trust this morning and why do you trust them? And as we think about our minds and our emotions and our wills this morning, let me say something to you as frankly as I can. if your conscience is aligned with the wrong standard, then it will not bother you. A lot of folks have been making a lot of decisions over the last 2 years. And in conversations with them, well, it doesn't bother my conscience not to obey this command. It doesn't bother my conscience not to go. It doesn't bother my conscience not to do. If your conscience is aligned with the wrong standard, then it will not bother you. And over the last 2 years, there have been a lot of people saying things like, well, let me tell you what I think about it. Well, let me tell you what I believe about it. Beloved, what you think about it and what you believe about it and what I think about it and what I believe about it is not the standard. We are not going to stand before the judgment seat of godless people or unfaithful brethren or fearful faithless brethren. We're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And instead of I believe, we should live by thus saith the Lord. God help us as individual disciples of Jesus to do just that. And as members of one another, help us in our thinking, in our speech, and in our behavior to be an encouragement to one another. To trust in the Lord with all of our hearts, completely and wholly and fully. There's a song that's about 10 years old, but I had not heard it until recently. The title of it is Oceans Where Feet May Fall, and it's based on Jesus putting the disciples into the boat on purpose and sending them out into the storm so that He could walk on the rough waters that were being tossed by the wind. And as Jesus is coming toward them, Peter asks the Lord if he can come out, and Peter gets out on the walker, and as long as he is focused on Jesus and he is looking unto Jesus and he's fixated on Jesus, he walks on the water. But as he begins to look around at all the other circumstances of his immediate situation, he begins to sink. And so this song, Oceans Where Feet May Fall, is based on Peter's experience with Jesus. And I have absolutely, in my walk over the last week, been consumed with this expression. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Does that describe you this morning? I mean, over the course of the last 2 years, there are a lot of folks that have created some new borders for themselves. How does God want us to trust Him? With all of our heart. Wants all of your intellect. He wants all of your emotion. He wants all of your will. When it comes to the trust that we are to have in Him, there are to be no borders. I want that to be true of me. And I want it to be true of you too. So how do we get there? We get there by growing in His grace and growing in His knowledge. You know who wrote those words? The disciple of Jesus who had the faith to get out of the boat. The disciple of Jesus who walked on water by the power of God. The one who grew in his understanding of Jesus' grace when Jesus immediately stretched his hand out and rescued him as he was beginning to sink. The disciple who wrote the words as he was carried along by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that we are to grow in his grace and in his knowledge, is the quintessential example of a disciple who did just that. And what is true of Peter can be true of you and can be true of me as well. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Romans 8:14. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters. Wherever you would call me, take me deeper than my feet could ever wander. And my faith. What's this lesson about this morning? It's about me. It's about me taking what God has revealed and making application to my life. My faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. He is in our midst as we began our worship together singing this morning, but He's in your midst wherever you are on any given day of the week. From the Lord God alone comes true help. He knows the right way to the right ends. He knows what benefits us. He is able to free us from that which does us harm. It is our duty to trust Him with all of our hearts. But to God be the glory. It is our safety to place our trust wholly in Him. If you haven't done that this morning, we're going to sing number 270 to encourage you to do just that. To give your heart fully to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. If you are a Christian, but there are borders to your trust that you have erected, not out of faith, but out of fear, let your loving, caring, involved Father tear them down. Hear the voice of Jesus say to you, come and be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, who will not give you a spirit of fear, but a spirit that glorifies God, one that is full of faith, of conviction, and of trust and surrender. As we stand and as we sing, number 270.